Welcome to Revelation. I'm glad that you've joined me today as we study God's Word together. For you see, the truth for today is God's Word that will transform your life. And I'm happy that you're here with me as we study the subject, gone. Your sin, your sorrow, your shame. Gone because of the blood of Jesus. Well, last week we began this teaching series called Gone by studying how we can find forgiveness from God for our own sins. We know that through the blood of Jesus Christ, every sin that we've committed can be washed away. And I trust that you've prayed and asked God to cleanse you of every sin. But today we're going to go further with this study and learn how to find forgiveness for ourselves, or how to forgive ourselves. For you see, oftentimes we pray and ask God to forgive us, but we also need to forgive ourselves and be free from regret. Open up your hearts now and receive the word of the Lord in this message called Forgiving Myself. Garba was a very clever young man, but he was also very naughty. One day he heard that his friend Seth had collected a large sum of money from his father to go to Accra to buy spare parts to come and sell in their town. Being a clever and a naughty young man, Garba quickly set a plan in motion. He went to his father's compound and carried one of the fat young goats that was there. Then he got a rope and a bucket and hurried to a well on the outskirts of the town. He tied the rope around the goat, put the goat in the bucket, and lowered it partway into the well. Then Garba sat down and waited for Seth to come along. It wasn't long before Seth came by on his way to Accra to buy spare parts. Garba called out a greeting to Seth, and Seth stopped to say hello. "What are you doing here by this well?" Seth asked Garba. "Oh, I'm just sitting by my goat well," Garba replied casually. "Goat well?" asked Seth. "Well, what in the world is a goat well? I've never heard of such a thing." "Oh, it's just the well I bought some time back. It's a goat well. It's just like any other well, only you don't get water from it. You get goats. Every day I come here to pull up goats out of the well. I then take them to the market and sell them. And that's how I'm making money these days." "I'm just about to pull up my next goat," Garba said. And with that, Garba got up and he slowly lifted the bucket out of the well. Sure enough, the goat was sitting in the bucket. It seemed as if the well had produced a goat. Well, Seth had never heard of a goat well before. At first, he didn't believe it. But then when he saw the nice, fat young goat coming up out of the well, he became convinced. "Let's bring up another one," Seth shouted. "Oh, it only produces one goat every hour," Garba replied. "You have to wait another hour, and then another goat will come." Seth began to think about this goat well. If you could get one goat every hour and take it to the market to sell, well, you could make a lot of money. He started pleading with Garba to sell him the goat well. At first, Garba seemed reluctant, but eventually they struck a deal. Seth gave Garba all the money his father had given him to trade, and Garba gave Seth the well. "Just wait 1 hour," Garba said as he took off. Seth sat down to wait. When the hour was up, he lowered his bucket into the well. He pulled it up slowly, but instead of a goat, there was only water. Seth dipped the bucket into the well again and again, but every time he only got water. There was never any goat, for there's no such thing as a goat well. Have you ever bought a goat well? What I mean by that is, have you ever made a decision that you thought was the right one, only to find out later that you had been deceived? You see, a goat well is any choice you make that looks good but ends up being a bad decision. A goat well is any venture we enter into thinking we will gain, but in the end, we lose. A goat well represents anything you invest in that ends up bearing no fruit and producing no results. I have to confess that sadly, one day I bought a goat well. I paid money to buy a piece of land in Ghana, but I didn't pay the right person. The man I paid was not the rightful owner, and the land was not genuine. That's a goat well. It's painful to lose money in a bad investment, but it's even worse when the goat well you purchase comes with your own soul or with your own life. It's even worse to give up yourself, ending up disappointed. If you invest yourself in a relationship and the relationship ends up going nowhere, well, that's a goat well. If you give yourself away to someone hoping to gain lasting love, but in the end you are dumped and deceived, that's a goat well. If you follow bad advice thinking that you will gain acceptance from the crowd, that's a goat well. And oftentimes the most painful thing is not the loss you've suffered, but the sense of shame and regret that you end up with in life. Imagine that Seth had to go back to his father and explain to him that he'd lost all the money. He had to tell his father, "I was duped and deceived by Garba." And the same thing happens to all of us in life. When we make a bad decision, we end up with shame and regret. No one ever makes a decision intending to be disappointed. No one ever intentionally buys a goat well. But we often don't see the consequences of our decisions till it's too late. And the result is disappointment, regret, shame, lost dreams, fear, and sometimes even self-hatred. Have you ever bought a goat well? Have you ever made a decision thinking that it was the right one, only to end up with shame and regret? Fortunately, friends, there is a way out. The good news is that there's a way of escape from regret and shame that comes with bad decisions. You can be free today from disappointment and lost dreams. For you see, when God forgives us of the past, He will never bring up our sin again. It is completely forgiven. That's what the Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 16. Listen to the Word of God. None of their past sins will be brought up again. You see, that's how God forgives. But the problem today is not just receiving forgiveness from God. The problem today is we're going to talk about forgiving ourselves. For oftentimes the problem is that we can't forgive ourselves for the bad things we've done. We may receive forgiveness from God, but we continue to live a life of shame and regret. We continue to beat ourselves over our mistakes. We continue to carry around a load of pain and disappointment, all because we have not forgiven ourselves. You may never have thought of it before, but it's true. You not only need to receive forgiveness from God, but you also need to release yourself from the bondage of the past. So how can you do that? How can you forgive yourself? What steps can you take today to break free from the past and to tell your shame and sorrow, "Be gone," in Jesus' name? Well, the answer lies in a story from one of the greatest apostles who ever lived, the Apostle Peter. He was a mighty man of God who wrote books of the Bible and did great things for the kingdom of God. But he was also a man who had a very big failure. He had a very big goat well in his life. He had to overcome the shame and regret of his betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ before he could become the great man of God that we know today. You see, friends, the Bible tells us that the day before Jesus was crucified, Peter had boasted to the Lord and said, "I will never deny you." But Jesus had looked at Peter and saw what was going on in his heart. And Jesus told Peter, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Well, Peter got offended and said, "No, Lord, that will never happen. I will even die with you." But Jesus was taken away by the soldiers, and Peter went into the courtyard to wait. And as he was there, a young lady began to accuse him of being a follower of Jesus. And Peter denied it. He started cursing and swearing. And the Bible says he even said, "I never knew the man." Maybe Peter was afraid of the crowd. Maybe he was afraid of the soldiers. But three times Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times he betrayed him. And just as the rooster crowed, the Bible says, Jesus was led into that courtyard by the soldiers. And the Bible tells us what happened. Jesus looked at Peter, and in Matthew 26:75, the Bible says, suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went away crying bitterly. Think about how Peter must have felt to have betrayed the Lord. Think about the shame and the regret he must have had. Think about how he cried bitterly. I wonder how he could live with himself, how he could face the other disciples, knowing that he had denied the Lord on the very night that Jesus was about to be crucified. I wonder how he could even go back to his friends, the other disciples, and tell them what had happened. I wonder how long it took Peter to forgive himself. See, friends, the problem for many of us is not receiving God's forgiveness. The problem for many of us is forgiving ourselves. Like Peter, we have done things so bad and so terrible, we cannot face ourselves any longer. You may be in a situation today where you feel shame. You don't even want to look at your face in the mirror. You may feel such shame that you can't go back to your village, or you find it difficult facing your family. We promised ourselves purity, but we ended up in sin. We made commitments and then broke them. We invested in a goat well, thinking it would bring happiness. But in the end, we're holding an empty bucket, wondering how our life went so wrong. And we feel ashamed. We feel guilty. We may even be angry at ourselves. But just like Peter, there is a way out. Just like Peter, you can find forgiveness for sin and you can forgive yourself. Just like Peter, you can overcome your failure so that you can become a powerful vessel in God's hands. How can this happen? Well, first of all, you need to receive God's total forgiveness. For you see, before you can forgive yourself, you've got to understand how God forgives you. For when God forgives you, it is complete and total forgiveness. He wants to forgive you. Look at what happened to Peter in Mark chapter 16. Jesus is risen from the dead. The tomb is empty. And the woman came to the tomb looking for Jesus Christ. But instead, they find an angel. And in Mark 16, 6 and 7, the Bible says this. The angel says to the women, "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and give this message to his disciples, including Peter." Everybody say, "including Peter." Friend, think about that for a moment. That's powerful. The Lord sent a message through his angels to the women who came to the empty tomb. The Lord sent a message and they included the name of Peter in that message because God wanted Peter to know, especially, specifically Peter, that he is forgiven. The message from the Lord was, "Peter, you are included in my disciples. You are part of my family and you are still part of my plan." Hallelujah! And I say to you today, friend, no matter what you've done, you're still part of God's plan. He has not given up on you. He's not finished with you yet. He still has something ahead of you. You may have committed adultery, but his grace can cover it. You may have had an abortion, but Jesus' blood can cover it. You may have killed somebody, but God's love is greater than any sin, and he's reaching down today to lift you up, for you are never too far from the love of God. And see, God's forgiveness is something special. It's not like forgiveness in the world. There are five unique things about God's forgiveness that when we understand them, it will help us to forgive ourselves. What are the five unique things about God's forgiveness? Well, first of all, God forgives specifically. You know, many times when we pray general prayers. "Oh God, forgive all my sins and the bad things I've done." We know that we've sinned, but it's not the general sin that God wants us to confess. It's the specific sins that bring us shame and regret. Even great men can stand in public and say, "Oh, I'm not perfect. I've committed sins. I've fallen short of the glory of God." But how many people will stand in public and confess specific sins? Yet God forgives specifically. It's the individual sin you committed that has brought you shame and regret. That's what God forgives. Right now, think of your most embarrassing sin. Think of the one sin you've committed that you've never told anyone else about, that you never, ever want anyone to know about. And understand today that God says you are forgiven of that sin. Then the second thing about God's forgiveness is that God forgives instantly. You don't have to wait around and hope for it. Sometimes with people, it takes us time to forgive. I can remember a time I was counseling two people. One of them had committed a sin against the other, and I was trying to get the other person to forgive. And I asked the person who had been wronged, "Do you forgive your friend?" And the answer was, "Let me think about it." But God is never like that. God never has to think about it. He forgives instantly. When you confess to Him, when you call upon His name instantly by the power of the blood of Jesus, your sin is washed away. And that brings us to the third thing about God's forgiveness. It's complete. God doesn't hold back and say, well, I'll forgive you halfway today, and if you're good for the next 6 months, I'll forgive you the rest of the way. Oh, no. He never says that. In fact, the Bible says that when God forgives our sins, He remembers them no more. He doesn't store it in His memory for future use to punish you. He doesn't bring it up again. In fact, I found this out personally one time. I was praying about something that I'd done, and I asked the Lord to forgive me over and over again. I prayed about it for weeks. Then as I was praying one day, the Holy Spirit said to me, which sin are you talking about? And I said, oh Lord, you know the sin that I've been praying about for the last few weeks. Then God said to me, I don't remember that one. The day you confessed it is the day I forgave it, and I forgot it. God forgives completely. He forgives instantly. He forgives freely. And fourth, God forgives repeatedly. See, one thing I often think of is this. One day Peter came to Christ and asked Him, how many times in a day should I forgive my brother? Should I forgive him 7 times? And you know what Jesus said to Peter? He told him, you must forgive your brother 70 times 7. Friends, 70 times 7 is 490 times. And that's what Jesus said. You must forgive your brother 490 times in just one day. For Peter said, how many times in a day should I forgive? And Jesus said, in a day, forgive 490 times. And if God tells us that here on earth we must forgive our brother 490 times in one day, don't you think that God will also likewise forgive you 490 times in a day? God does not ask us to do more than He is willing to do for us. He tells us to forgive repeatedly because He also forgives us repeatedly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of your forgiveness. And fifth, when God forgives, He forgives freely. You don't pay for it. You can't earn it. You cannot buy it. There's no market you can go to where you can buy forgiveness from God. It's a free gift given to us by the Lord through the power of His blood, by the grace of God. You see, the enemy wants to bring up that sin over and over again in your mind to torment you and to use it as a weapon, to tell you you've got to do certain things to overcome and get forgiveness for that sin. But God forgives freely when we confess and turn to Him. It reminds me of a story of two children who were playing. Mary and Paul were playing in their house when Paul accidentally broke one of his mother's glass dishes. Mary saw the accident and decided to use it as a weapon against Paul. So from that time on, anytime Mary was supposed to do chores in the house, she would make Paul do it. And she would tell him, remember the glass dish you broke. If you don't do my chores, I will tell Mom that you are the one who broke her dish. If Mary was supposed to clean the kitchen, she would simply tell Paul, remember the glass dish. If she was told to go to market or fetch water, she would say to Paul, remember the glass dish. And Paul would be forced to do Mary's chores for her. Even if the father came and wanted to give them sweets, Mary would make Paul give her his sweet. And she would whisper, remember the glass dish. Well, Paul became so tormented by his sister Mary that finally one day he went to his mother and confessed to her. And that's when the mother said, Paul, I knew all along it was you that broke the glass dish. I was only waiting to see how long you would allow Mary to torment you. Friends, God already knows what you've done, and He's still ready to forgive you. But when we do not believe in God's forgiveness, we allow the devil to hold us captive. And the devil will make you do what you don't want to do. He'll keep you in bondage and continue to whisper to you about your past sins. But whenever the enemy comes to tell you about your past sins, you simply need to remind him about his future consequence. The devil wants to keep you from enjoying what you're supposed to enjoy, and it's time to say, enough is enough. I will not be in bondage to the devil's condemnation any longer. I will come to God for forgiveness, and I will be free. For God's forgiveness is specific. It's instant. He forgives completely and repeatedly, and His forgiveness is free, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you understand that, it's the first step for you to forgive yourself. For you may think you do not deserve God's forgiveness, and so you can't forgive yourself. But the fact is, you don't deserve God's forgiveness, but His mercy and His grace brought it to you. Look at how Paul describes God's forgiveness in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Paul says this, He has forgiven all of your sins. He has utterly wiped out the evidence of broken commandments, which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, just take your pen and underline that last phrase, nailing it to the cross. You see, Jesus Christ settled this issue of forgiveness on the cross. But until you recognize that, until you receive it for yourself, until you understand the vast, complete totality of God's forgiveness, you will not be able to offer yourself that same forgiveness. Friend, you have no right to withhold forgiveness from yourself when Jesus has already forgiven you. To forgive yourself requires that you receive God's total forgiveness. And that's what Peter did. What was the result? Well, the Bible tells us Peter made significant changes in his life after he denied the Lord. When he sinned in denying Christ, he was afraid of the servant girl. But after receiving God's forgiveness, he changed his pattern. He changed his behavior. He put aside the fear of man and became bold. And less than 2 months after denying the Lord, it was this same Peter who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached to over 3,000 men. He was bold, publicly declaring the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, he kept on preaching about Jesus, and he got into trouble with the religious leaders. But Acts chapter 4, verse 13 tells us about that. It says, the members of the Jewish council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men who had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. The Bible says Peter was so bold. It seems amazing that he could change from a timid coward to a bold man. This same man who months before was so afraid of a little servant girl was now boldly proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection. He was standing in front of thousands, preaching the gospel, standing in front of religious leaders, proclaiming Jesus Christ. What was it that made the difference? I believe that Peter not only received God's forgiveness, but he forgave himself. And he was able to change the pattern of his life. He sat and thought about where he went wrong, and he took a stand for the Lord. And that's what you can do today as well. Friends, you may have made mistakes in your career. You may have made mistakes in your marriage. You may have made mistakes with your children or in your sexual life. You may have made mistakes in your finance. But nothing can limit your future in God when you come to Him for forgiveness. And when you learn to forgive yourself, when you receive His forgiveness, and when you begin to build new patterns in your own life to turn away from the shame and the regret, then there's nothing that can prevent you from fulfilling God's great plan for your life. It's my prayer for you that God will grant you the grace to come to Him today and receive His total and complete forgiveness, that you'll find the grace to forgive yourself and to make a new start in your life. Thank you for joining me today on Revelation. I trust that today's message, forgiving myself, has been a blessing to you. You know, oftentimes we come to Jesus and ask Him to forgive us of our sins, and we need to do that. But we also need to forgive ourselves to overcome regret. And I trust that as you've opened your heart to the power of the Holy Spirit and to the truth of the Word of God, that you're finding peace and overcoming regret for your past. I want to let you know that there's a lot of helpful material for you on our website. The web address is there on the bottom of your screen. When you visit our website, you'll find the notes for today's lesson, as well as the other lessons on Revelation TV. You'll also find a study guide, which will give you scriptures and questions you can answer so that you can take this message deeper and really come to a greater understanding of God's Word. Also on the website, every month we have a bonus feature, a free sermon that I preached at my church, Agape House New Testament Church. Visit our website today, listen to the sermon or download it. I know it will be a blessing to you. And also, if you live in the greater Accra region of Ghana, I want to invite you to fellowship with us at Agape House New Testament Church. I believe you'll find there a family that will embrace you, inspiration for your journey in the Christian walk, and also the presence and power of God to help see you through. Here's a brief video clip about our church. I hope to see you at Agape House very soon. May God richly bless you.
One can chase a thousand, but two will put 10,000 to flight. One seed sown in the ground can produce a mighty harvest. One life in the hands of God can change the world. Multiply. Discover a hundredfold living. Sermon series begins this July 13th and 14th at Agape House. Join Pastor Whitcomb for this new series.